I'm leaving you, J.R. I'm leaving you for the West End stage.
Yeah, you're sure as hell not, Sue Ellen. You dirty little tramp.
Yes, I am, J.R. I'm in The Graduate. It's sweet justice, because it was my leg in the original poster.
What, just the one leg?
Yes.
Well, you never could keep them together.
This is a new departure for me, J.R.
Now why? Who the hell are you playing?
I'm playing an alcoholic middle-aged woman who tries to seduce a young man.
Hell, that ain't no departure, Sue Ellen. You're not going, Sue Ellen. What the hell am I going to tell little John Ross, who, incidentally, is 42 now?
You can tell him anything you like, J.R. I'm going.
Actually, Sue Ellen, we better both leave.
Why's that, J.R.?
Because we're late. We were due on UK Gold 10 minutes ago. You dirty little tramp.
Ringers.
Mr. President, I've just seen the news. The numbers are very alarming.
I completely agree, Arise. I'm fine up to six, then it gets tricky.
This isn't about you trying to count up to 10.
There's a 10? What will they think of next?
The latest numbers that show the U.S. economy is growing at an incredibly slow rate.
We need to stimulateify growth and restoreify consumeratory confidence among the citizens of the United States of Abseiling. I'm encrusting the job to an economic guru from the street where all great economistics come from.
Sunny day, sleeping up.
That's right. I am the Count. I come to suck your blood and save your country. Come, count with me. One worldwide recession.
Sir, as much as I respect you, we cannot entrust the economic well-being of the most powerful country on earth to a stupid one-dimensional cartoon character.
I agree, but you put him in the White House.
Good evening, this is Michael Burke. It's midnight, and before I go up the hill to Bedfordshire, I'm in two minds whether to first enjoy a hot mug of cocoa or a cup of Horlicks. That's the choice for bedtime. For me, Michael Burke. But first, the news. There seems to be an intruder in Michael Burke's home. More on that later. But now, the BBC newsreader picks up this poker and switches the light on. And now you can see that he's joined in his home by Dr. David Starkey.
Correct. And I'm here to finish my point that I couldn't complete when the moral maze finished some 3 hours ago.
But, David, there's no one listening to us.
Well, that's never stopped me before. If you remember, the moral maze this week was about personal freedom and the right to defend oneself.
Like with this poker, you mean, David?
Exactly. Excellent. So not only have my arguments triumphed, but it has also brought into sharp focus the fact that I am now bleeding profusely.
Yes, but should a right-wing windbag accept state health care? That's our moral maze right now. Dr. David Starkey.
Good night.
BBC, Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. Tonight, yet another chance to hear a reading of Bridget Jones's diary. And like everything else on Radio 4, it has to be read by Martin Jarvis.
Hello. I'm Bridget Jones. Went out for date 2 with Jeremy last night. He's so boring, but felt sorry for him. So I let him have a sympathy snog before putting him in a cab. Desperately attempted to cheer myself up. Down 7 glasses of Chardonnay, v bad. Ate 3 whole chocolate bars, v bad. Then bought 14 copies of that fabulous audio tape, Martin Jarvis reads The Central Heating Boiler Installation. v good.
Chocolate Fabidel.
Oh, hi there. Is that the supermarket?
It is, yes.
Hi there. My name is Simon Bates.
Simon Bates?
Yeah.
Right.
I wondered, I guess, if you sold tea bags.
We do, yes.
You do?
Yes.
That's good. Because... I guess it was just like any normal morning, and I guess you could say I woke up and got out of bed, and...
That sound bit off the radio?
Yeah. So I went to the kitchen, went to the familiar third cupboard along, the place where the tea bags always usually were.
Right.
And when the cupboard was opened, I found that all the tea bags had run out. They were gone. The tea bags were suddenly in the past.
Okay.
And I guess you could say I felt disappointed, frustrated. But then I remembered the supermarket, and with that, the hope and the likelihood that you would have an abundance of tea bags for sale.
We've got several types of tea bags. Do you live on?
So, my heart was lifted when it became...
Could you just hold on just for 1 second, sorry?
No, I can't. My heart was lifted when I knew that you would have the tea bags in stock, and also with that, the pickled eggs and raw liver that I love to have along with my cup of tea.
I can do with that. Do you do that as well?
And I knew that you would have these things at a time in my life when I needed them most.
That's no problem. Would you like me to put them up for you and you can collect them all?
If you could take the time in your busy schedule to put that to one side for me, and I'll be able to move on in my life and become...
And when will you be able to collect these, sir?
Later on today. In fact, right after ELO with Mr. Blue Sky.
That's one of the most perfect songs I've ever heard in my life.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. In a moment, the headlines with Charlotte Green. She was dead through my incarceration. I want to show the nation my appreciation. But now, this week's Radio 4 appeal with Dame Judi Dench.
Hello. I'll begin by asking you to imagine how you'd cope with a certain part of your life if it was quite a bit more difficult to do. You'll listen because I'm really famous. How different from Jim Bowen's appeal 2 weeks ago when you wandered off to the conservatory to water the pot plants. This is the point where I explain exactly what the charity does, but unfortunately, you miss it, as you're far too busy thinking how lovely my voice is, and how much you enjoyed me and Mrs. Brown when you taped it off the telly last month. I'll now illustrate the value of the work the charity does with a heart-rending true life story. It's at this point you start concentrating again and begin feeling guilty about the fact you always go out of your way to avoid the bloke selling the big issue by the station and never giving anything to charity, and even though you're not sure what this one does, you grope for a pen and paper, figuring, well, if it's good enough for Dame Judy, then it's jolly well good enough for me. I finish by explaining that if you prefer, you can send the donation directly to me, because the charity knows the only reason you're giving anything is so that nice lady out of those sitcoms and the Bond films doesn't think you're a tight-fisted cheapskate. I then pause, thoughtfully, and say thank you for your time, by which stage you've already managed to lose the piece of paper with the address, so you don't send the check off after all. What a relief.
Janet Street Porter. Welcome to Celebrity Sleepover, the show where I tell an ordinary couple which famous person will be staying with them for 2 nights. They're so relieved to find out it isn't me, they'll have anyone. Now, this week the Robinsons have been put together with steeplejack Fred Dibner. Fred, how are you getting on?
Well, Janet, it was strange when I arrived. You know, they didn't seem that keen on the idea, like, of me bloody great big steam engine on their front lawn, you know.
Oh, yeah, because they were so embarrassed about what their neighbours might think.
No, because that's where their cats were asleep. Still, handy for them to have a couple of nice new coasters.
At the end of day one, Fred entertains the Robinsons with one of his many stories.
Did I ever tell you about the time I was up stuck in Oldham and this fella came over, I think he were from Burnley. Well, I can't remember his name. Well, actually, I can't remember what he said either. And, well, one thing led to another and, what, are you off to bed? It's a bit early, isn't it?
Spends much of day two showing the children the proper way to lay out high explosive charges all round the three-bedroom semi. So, Fred, as usual here at the end of your sleepover, we've wired you up to a lie detector to see how you've enjoyed it.
Well, it couldn't have been better.
And do you think the family liked you?
Indeed I do.
And one last question. Are you going to blow up their house?
Absolutely not.
Find out what happens in Celebrity Sleepover next week when the Gravenese from Worcester entertain Osama bin Laden.
Good morning. Welcome to Midweek with me, Libby Purvis, with a voice like warm buttered scones on a cold winter's evening. My guests this week are all frightfully middle class, and they've all recently done something frightfully nice. And they've come here to tell Mummy all about it. Tom Paulin, you've written some frightfully super poems, haven't you?
Don't you want to see them?
Oh, gosh, yes, they are nice. You can have a buttered muffin with lashings of orange squash. Ian Hislop, you edit a magazine and come up with all sorts of frightfully funny jokes.
Yes, Mummy, I do. I also write and make lots and lots and lots and lots of documentaries.
Well, that's all absolutely smashing, and I'm going to give you sixpence to buy a bag of pear drops. Now, Fred Dibner, you do all sorts of frightfully super things with steeples.
Well, yes, Mum, you know, I mean, well, I have, you know, well, I also have some steam tractors, you know.
Well, that's frightfully clever, but Fred, you have a working-class accent, so I'm afraid it's off to bed with no tea. Good morning.
And next on the News at 10, astronomer Patrick Moore has angered Christians by claiming that the Star of Bethlehem was nothing more than two meteorites. He issued this statement.
No, I'm not debunking religion, far from it. I, too, recognise the existence of a higher being, a benevolent, kindly, white-haired figure who looks down from on high. And he is, of course, me. I am your God. Bow down before me, and I have my commandments, and they are as follows. Thou shalt have no new jackets before this one totally disintegrates. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's xylophone or monocle. Thou shalt not kill a fly by swallowing it. Thou shalt not view an eclipse with the naked eye, because that could irreversibly damage your retina. Thou shalt honour thy father's and mother's jacket and still be wearing it 80 years later. And most importantly, this is crucial, thou shalt not cover thy jacket in plastic and take it to the cleaners. Good night.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. And in the wake of Big Brother and Survivor, we look back now at the first ever reality show.
Long before Castaway, the BBC threw together people from every corner of the country to live together in a tiny rural hamlet, totally cut off from the real world. Day 22,306. And Clary's desperate that unlike the previous 700 weeks, the Grundy family won't fail the task set for them to get through one whole day without anything going wrong for them.
23 hours, 58 seconds, 59 seconds, and we think we're going to be...
Joe, Clary, Joe's just accidentally swallowed a combine harvester. And William's been admitted to the Priory Clinic because of his addiction to Swarfiga.
Day 28,709, and the ferrets are in pensive mood. As everyone's angry, they haven't been laying as many eggs as expected. And Joe is standing over their cage, angrily wielding a frying pan.
Lay, you buggers, lay.
Day 32,804. And after doubling the village's food budget by completing the task of riding a unicycle round a room while Shula balanced David Archer on a stick, Linda Snell parties long into the night with Eddie Grundy. Slipping from the jacuzzi naked just after midnight, Linda begins giving Eddie a full-body massage.
Linda, there's something you should know. I like milking, I do.
I like milking too.
Day 35,301. And nasty Brian Aldridge has been evicted for passing notes to the other inhabitants, claiming there's something called a script.
I did not.
Day 41,000, and the inhabitants now have only £6 left to spend on sound effects for the rest of the week. Meanwhile, Ruth has just emerged from the den with one of the pigs and has discovered she's pregnant.
Oh, no.
Elton, Elton, we loved your songs for The Lion King and El Dorado, but in future, we're going to get Phil Collins to do all the songs for our big-budget animation films.
You won't stop me. I'll just find another animation desperately in need of some Elton John magic.
Now, in all good record shops, Elton John's songs from cartoons that aren't Disney.
Goodbye, Elmer Fudd. You try to shoot Bugs Bunny in the back, but he put a carrot down the barrel. It blew up and your face was black.
There won't be a dry eye in the house when Elton sings.
Goodbye, Scrappy-Doo. You were always up for a scrap, but when they added you to the show, Scooby-Doo became crap. Goodbye, Wile E. Coyote. You painted a fake tunnel on the wall, and a train came rushing through it, and it flattened you to the floor. And it seems to me you lived your life on skates from the Acme Company, coming off the cliff and for a second defying gravity. And when you plummeted down the canyon, you didn't wind up dead. Even when the anvil followed you down and smacked you on the head.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. We're loving it, loving it, loving it. We're loving it like that. And now it's a treat for all children, as they can all disappear off to the pub while their parents listen to Radio 4's only children's programme, Go For It.
Hello, I'm Matt Smith, the man who makes Carol Smiley sound like a manic depressive. Ace. And yes, in case you're wondering, no, that wasn't a misprint in the Radio Times. The four in Go For It really is written as the number four. Yeah, trendy, eh? Too bad when you try and spell it out like that in your GCSEs, you fail. Only joking, I think. Ace. Yes, this is the show. Yes, this is the show all about what us groovy people at Radio 4 think kids are into. Shakespeare sonnets, Japanese kabuka theatre, and, of course, feng shui. Ace. This week, we've got a well-wicked reading by Will Self. Ace. Well, this is his latest work, How the Dead Live.
My lithopedian looked at me with little jet periwinkle eyes, mineral eyes. Its eyes have a black liveliness so unlike its body, which is as grey as the York stone it stood upon.
Wasn't that great? Ace, hey, hey, kids, next we've got Tracy MN. She was the one who did that tent that has the name of every man she's ever slept with in it. Well, not me, though. Our young roving reporters went to meet her. Ace.
Tracy, do you like EastEnders?
Oh, shut up. I've had 15 pints of lager for breakfast. I'm so pissed I'm about to throw up.
Do you like chips? Oh, no, it was a waste of good vomit. I could have flogged that to Charles Saatchi for 30 grand.
Remember, last week in our competition, we asked you what we could possibly do more annoying than a 30-year-old man trying to sound like a 12-year-old boy. See you next week on Go For It, Ace. Hello, welcome to Counterpoint with me, Ned Sherrin, and to show you how withered we really are, this edition is especially for you groovy hipsters, and our contestants are Mr. Shaggy, a reggae pop crossover artist from Jamaica.
You're a queen and that's how you should be treated. My blood is fully centralated. Wow.
Next, Mr. Marshall Mathers, alias Eminem, a rap chanteur from Detroit.
Dear Ned, I love being on Counterpoint. It's a sound to join them, quote-unquote, that show smells like goat. I put on my coat and vote with my feet if I see Nigel Reese. Jeez, let him rest in peace. I hate him, he's dim, but you got them, you're slim.
Most invigorating. And our third contestant is Mr. Johnson, a retired postmaster from East Sussex.
Hello.
Limp Bizkit cancelled, I gather. So, to begin this special youth edition, for 2 points, Mr. Shaggy, how long did it take Felix Mendelssohn to write his violin concerto in E minor?
I'm telling you, I don't know.
Not a very boombastic answer there, I fear. Mr. Mathers, any thoughts, homeboy?
Me don't know the answer, but don't call me a chancer. Don't call me a baddie or I'll throw a patty. Is the answer Puff Daddy?
No. And it appears your knowledge of 19th century German romanticism is alarmingly slim, Mr. Johnson.
I believe it took him 6 years.
Correct. And at the end of that round, I have decided to live my dream and become a hard house DJ. Everybody in the Counterpoint Nation, make some noise.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. Feed me.
And I'm Charlotte Green.
So, I've just heard Go For It, broadcasting for children. I won't be left out. Not friendly Uncle Brian Perkins. The kiddies' entertainer. I'll be doing some balloon modelling. That's Eddie Mayer. That's Martin Jarvis. And that's Peter Donaldson's severed head.
And what's that big fat pink one?
Ned Sherrin. BBC Radio 4. Come on, don't be scared. Uncle Brian won't hurt you.
Member of Viewer Relations, how can I assist today?
Hi there, it's President George Bush W. of the United States of Amoeba. I just had a question on my favorite program of Sesame Street, if you might be able to have the time to answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, because I was watching it the other day, and I was feeling highly positivacious about it, and then something came on which really got me to thinking. Maybe you've seen this bit before. You know when they do that stuff where they say, one of these things is not like the others.
Yes.
Three of these things are kind of the same. Can you tell which one is not like the others? Now it's time to play our game. It's time to play our game.
Yes, I know that, sir. What's your question?
Well, they had a tortoise.
Okay.
Next to that, they had a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to that, they had this real cute itty-bitty mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Next to that, they had the electric waffle maker.
Okay.
And I was just trying to figure out which one did not belong and was not like the others.
I would assume that would be the waffle maker because it's not an animal.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that's right. I think the odd one out was the tortoise because that didn't have a tail.
Okay. Well, if you have a question to find out what is the correct answer, it would be best to call the producer.
What do you think? Because I don't want to appear dumb when I call.
And no question is dumb. It's an inquiry.
A what?
It's a question, sir. It's not a problem.
Oh, well, okay. I was certain that it was the tortoise. Do you not think that the tortoise was the one that didn't belong?
Well, in personal opinion, no, I don't believe
really, why,
that.
Really? Why not? Because that's the only one that doesn't have a tail.
Actually, it does have one. It's very, very small. The only one to me that wouldn't belong would be the non-breathing item, which would be, what, the waffle maker, you said?
It breathes like smoke comes out of it sometimes.
Yes,
like...
but it's not alive.
What about when the little red light comes on?
It's not alive, though. It has no beating heart. It has no blood. It's not a living thing.
But, like, you look at the rabbit, that has a little itty-bitty tail, and the mouse has, it's got a tail that it wriggles a lot. And, like, the electric waffle maker, its tail, you kind of plug into the wall to make the light come on.
But that's not a tail, sir. That's a cord.
A cord?
Mm-hmm. Okay?
A cord?
Yes, it's a cord. It's an electrical cord.
Well, the mouse has that, but it's just
but
not
a mouse
as...
doesn't have an electrical cord. It has a tail. Okay? If you don't believe my answer, go ahead and call Sesame Workshop, and they'd probably be able to assist you further.
I'd just like to thank you for your time and your advicitude on this questionary inquiry, which I inquired upon.
Not a problem.
And what do you think of my foreign policy?
Excuse me?
What do you think of my foreign policy?
You didn't mention that, but I really don't have time for that at this time.
Did you vote for me or Gore?
I hope you're not President Bush calling.
Well, of course I am. I knew that I could count on you.
Okay, I have to go now.
Okay, will you vote for me next time?
I sure will.
I sense that this time you did not.
That is correct. I have to go now.
I knew the odd one out was the tortoise. You were just saying the waffle maker just to kind of piss me off.
Actually, no. The correct answer would be the waffle maker because it's not a real animal, as said before. But I really have to go.
Well, it's been real sweet talking to you.
Okay, you too now. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fantin. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, and Dave Cohen. The title music was by John Whitehall. The producer is Bill Dare.